Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, somewhere in the mix of last week's election results, chances are you saw a fleeting headline about the unprecedented vote in favor of statehood for Puerto Rico. But it's not quite that simple. Here now to explain the ins and outs of that ballot and Puerto Rico's future status is Yarimar Bonilla, a political anthropologist and professor in the departments of both anthropology and Latino and Caribbean studies at Rutgers. Professor, welcome to WNYC, and I gather you're joining us from San Juan, correct?
Hi, yes, I'm here for, ironically enough, the American Studies Association conference.
Oh, yeah, they'll go to whatever warm climb they can get to by November 15th, I guess. So the news coverage of this vote made the results seem pretty cut and dried, with reports that 54% of Puerto Ricans would like to see the Commonwealth become a state. Is that accurate?
No, it's not at all accurate. The referendum had two questions on it. The first question asked if Puerto Ricans wanted to change their current status, and that question did get 54% of the vote. And then there was a second question, which said, regardless of what you answered in the first question, which option would you like? Which already is confusing, because if you don't want to change your status, then it's confusing to then pick a new status. And in that second question, the pro-statehood party is claiming that they got an overwhelming 61% of the vote, but they're doing a little bit of funny math to arrive at that number, because the scholars are saying that they got their usual 45%, which is what they've gotten in the previous elections, because 25% voted for a new kind of Commonwealth, and 26% left the ballots blank as they were instructed to by the Commonwealth Party supporters, which was a way of saying that they didn't want to change their status. And then there was also 4% that voted for independence.
I see. So if you took into account the blank ballots, then it would really be less than the 61% that the pro-statehood forces were claiming. But it sounds like there's at least a takeaway from this election that Puerto Ricans, a majority of them who voted, are dissatisfied with their status as a Commonwealth, which is not a state, nor is it independent. Would you say?
Yes, no, I think that is clear, that Puerto Ricans do in fact want a change in their relationship to the United States. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they want statehood. I think it means what they want is to no longer have the kind of second-class citizenship that they currently have and the kind of economic and political inequality that they have.
But if only 4% voted for independence, why not conclude that really people do want statehood by a pretty wide margin?
Because a large number of people want a different kind of formula that's neither statehood nor independence.
Ah, a new kind of Commonwealth status, as you put it before.
Yes, a reworking of the relationship. And the fact is, it's important to know that these votes have been held periodically, constantly organized by the statehood party, constantly set up in a way to give kind of funny numbers and to rig the results to seem as if statehood is what is most supported. They've never had a vote that is simply, do you want to be a state, yes or no? Because I think in that kind of vote, it would be clear that the majority of Puerto Ricans do not want to be a state, nor do they want to be independent. They want a particular kind of relationship to the United States that takes into account the long history of relationship that Puerto Rico has had to the United States.
And we'll get into some of the particulars of what that ideal relationship might look like, but I do want to open the phones. We've got a few minutes for any Puerto Ricans or New Yorkers listening to call us up and tell us what you think about Puerto Rico's status and what it should be. Statehood, independence, remain a commonwealth, but change the nature of it. We want to hear from you at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. I know the diaspora was not allowed to vote in this election, so probably not many people listening right now actually cast ballots in this. But I'm sure a lot of people, I know a lot of people in New York of Puerto Rican descent had strong opinions on it. So give us a call. What do you think this vote actually meant, and what would you like to see as the ideal relationship between the island and the mainland? 212-433-WNYC, for our Puerto Rican listeners, 212-433-9692. As we continue with Yarama Bonilla, Rutgers Professor of Anthropology and Latino and Caribbean Studies. So what are seen as the biggest weaknesses by people on the island of the current Commonwealth status relationship with the United States, and what would they like to see changed?
Well, within the folks who want to retain a relationship to the United States, there are different propositions, and these are sometimes described as the difference between autonomy and sovereignty. And the new formula that was proposed in the referendum, which not everyone backs, was described as a kind of sovereign associated states. And so what they suggest is that Puerto Rico retain its U.S. citizenship, retain the use of the dollar, and retain its relationship to the U.S. military, but that it be able to have its own foreign policy and foreign trade, among other things. And this is all very ambiguous, and in part of the problem with the vote was that in the ballot it was stated that certain competencies would be negotiated between the United States and Puerto Rican government, but it wasn't stipulated what those competencies would be, who would get a say in determining them, would it be a negotiation among equals, and when that would take place. So it was kind of suggesting vote for this now and we'll figure it out later, and I think that's part of why it didn't get as much support and why a lot of people just left that option blank.
Why would something like that be of interest to the United States? Presumably, the relationship with Puerto Rico costs the U.S. taxpayers money. If they were so sovereign that they had their own foreign policy and some of the other things you mentioned, why wouldn't Americans on the mainland just rather see Puerto Rico as an independent country?
Well, the truth is that the U.S. has these kinds of relationships with other places. For example, Micronesia and American Samoa. These are places that have U.S. citizenship, but that are in other ways independent. And they are important for the U.S. economy, for the U.S. military. The U.S. has military bases in these places. And in fact, the highest rates of per capita deaths in the Iraq War come from Micronesia and American Samoa. They have higher rates of casualties than any state in the union.
Let's take a phone call. Luis in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Brian, you know, one of the important things is that, first, the parties in Puerto Rico are very different. The Republican Party, the Partido Nuevo Progresista, it's not like the Republican Party here. That's the first thing. And second, even if they had a 61%, even if they had 100% people saying that they want to become a state, the Republican Party with here would not allow it. It would almost guarantee two more Democratic senators, and that's an impossibility.
Luis, thank you very much. Well, on that political analysis, Professor Bonilla, am I wrong that Mitt Romney made a campaign promise, and President Obama has the same position, that if Puerto Ricans do vote for statehood, that they would support it in the U.S. Congress?
Yes. So, your caller is absolutely right that this is very strange why Republicans would support this, but I think that is the governor who was in place here, Fortuño, he kind of convinced the Republican Party that Puerto Rico could provide a large constituency of very conservative minority voters that would support the Republican platform on issues like abortion and stuff like that. And so they think that they're precisely the kind of Latinos that the Republican Party is so desperately needing. And I think that perhaps that is why the Republican Party has expressed even a little bit more support for statehood than the Democratic Party. Mitt Romney had said that if there was just even 51% majority and he was voted president, that he would take it to Congress, whereas President Obama was more measured and said that there had to be a much more larger majority vote, a much more of a groundswell for him to take this to Congress. And he already expressed himself and said that he did not see a mandate here and was not going to take it up.
To the caller's other point, do you see a big difference between Puerto Rican Republicans and mainland Republicans? The outgoing Governor Fortuño is a Republican, and, you know, most Americans would think, based on the election results here, that an all-Hispanic state would never elect a Republican governor.
Yes, and the political divisions of the United States don't easily apply to Puerto Rico. There is a affiliations between the Republicans and the Democrats across both parties. And I think it's also important to note that the way in which Puerto Ricans imagine statehood is not necessarily the way the United States imagines it. For example, the issue of language is really important. When Rick Santorum came to Puerto Rico during the Republican primaries, he told Puerto Ricans that if they really wanted to be a state, they had to learn English. They had to stop speaking Spanish. And I don't think, first of all, there's nowhere in the U.S. Constitution does it say that English is the first language, the official language mm-hmm. of the United States. That's only at the level of certain states that's been voted on. And I think that issues like that for Puerto Ricans, that's not the image of statehood that they have. For the United States to really bring Puerto Rico into the nation, it would require them to rethink their own contradictions as a nation and to rethink of themselves as a ethnically diverse and linguistically diverse nation. And I don't think that, especially in the Republican Party, they're really ready to have that kind of conversation.
Roseni in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi. So I was talking to a young lady before and just letting them know that, you know, one of the bigger problems, I think, is that the options are not very clear, and the options have never been clear. And even the first new sovereign option that they listed, it's very ambiguous what it would really take to have such a relationship. And, you know, making the comparison to the other islands and things like that, it's not a good comparison. Puerto Ricans are so intertwined with the American system that to disengage that and to try something different, I think it's not possible. I think Puerto Rico is a very, very specific situation that needs to be looked at, because Puerto Ricans in the United States, we see it one way, and Puerto Ricans in Puerto Rico see it another way, but neither of us studying the issue really understand what the options are and is there going to be any clear pathway to any of these options aside from statehood. Of course, statehood has other serious implications, and with Congress and how many members of Congress, you know, would now be of Puerto Rican descent and how that would turn out in Congress, that's a whole other issue that hasn't been really discussed seriously. But in my opinion, it makes sense. And in many ways, Puerto Rico has functioned like a state for a very long time.
Roseni, thank you for all of that. And to one of her points, Professor, do you think there is a split in perception between Puerto Ricans here and Puerto Ricans there as to how the relationship should develop?
Yes, I think traditionally what people find is that in the diaspora, in the United States, Puerto Ricans tend to have a stronger support for independence than in the island. In the island, it's, when the votes come through, it's usually single digits, 4 or 5%. And part of what Puerto Ricans in the island of Puerto Rico say is that Puerto Ricans in the United States who support independence in a way get to have their cake and eat it too, so they get to live in a state of the United States and have full citizenship, vote for the president, get full government assistance and the kind of minimum wage of the United States, and yet still keep Puerto Rico as it's a kind of homeland that they can return to. And whereas Puerto Ricans living on the island on the day-to-day basis have to live with the contradictions of second-class citizenship on mm-hmm. a day-to-day basis.
Well, for those who do want statehood, I guess we learn, if nothing else, that it's going to take at least one more public referendum to put the issue squarely in Congress's court. Yarimar Bonilla, political anthropologist, professor in the Anthropology and Latino and Caribbean Studies departments at Rutgers, thank you very much for clarifying so much.
You're welcome.
Su pensamiento todo un mundo lleno de felicidad hay, de felicidad. Piensa remediar la situación del hogar que estoy.